God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday from 6 to 7 right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. And here with me tonight is my good friend and partner on this program, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with us also tonight is Frank Briscoe, the gospel preacher for the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. He'll be running our boards and our telephones and helping us out with some good information and information that we need sometimes from the Bible, and we're very pleased to have you listening to us tonight. We've got a good program for you tonight. We're going to continue with our study on our relationship to God, and we need to remember that there is a way to live happily and successfully every day of our lives, and the key to this is truth. John chapter 8, verse 32 said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And that's an absolute truth in itself. Truth frees, whether it's in science or medicine or physics or even spiritually. Truth enables us to build skyscrapers and automobiles, go to the moon, bring about success and achievement in any field. And it is also very, very important that we search for spiritual truth as we do in other areas. But in order to do that, we're going to have to be better spiritually informed in order that we might make these right decisions that affect our lives and ultimately will affect our happiness. Now, we've been talking for the last 2 weeks and been getting some feedback on the chat box, and Tom will tell you about the chat box a little bit more in just a moment, but there have been some people that have actually written in and said that, you know, this is a silly thing that we're doing here, talking about evolution as a substitute for truth, and they seem to claim that the only truth is in science, but this is not true at all. Many times, in many ways, people try to find a substitute for God and truth. They just simply don't like the truth. And organic evolution is one of these things that people have bought into. And one of the main reasons that they've bought into this is because, Tom, they teach this to our children. It is an absolute requirement for all state-supported schools that all of these children be exposed to this theory called evolution, one of the most dangerous teachings that has ever been put out to a civilized people since time began. But those that accept these this theory of evolution as a substitute for God and creation, they search evidence to support this evolution, and they can't find it. And what we're talking about is all plant, all animal life from one source. And should evolution be true, then the evidence for this should be everywhere. But that's just not the case. The lack of finding between the stages even staggered Charles Darwin. And we asked the question a couple of weeks ago, why are we not told about this when we're being taught about evolution in our schools? What or why are these publishers trying to hide the truth of all of this? Well, the truth is the key to happiness, and there is an alternative to evolution that many of our children have never been exposed to, and the alternative to evolution, Tom and Frank and all of you folks that are listening out there, is God, creation, intelligence, and design? And you might ask, and we covered this last week, how is design an alternative to evolution? Well, in this one sense, the admission of a design for the universe ultimately raises the question of a designer. But evolutionists argue that this magnificent universe evolved out of a random process. But we mentioned the fact that there is no such thing as a random process that could produce the brain of a man or the system of a human eye. And the evidence of design in designer is everywhere. You see it in a watch, in a house, in a car. These things didn't happen, but they testify to the intelligence and the design of a man. And one of the amazing evidences of design or animal instincts. And we talked about these animal instincts last week and gave a couple of examples. But here is the key that we need to focus on tonight. If we no longer believe that God created man, but that man evolved from lower animals, then the only standards, the only morals are no higher than man himself or the government under which he lived. If you would just suppose for a moment that a government decided on the death penalty for those who were deemed to be a burden to society, what would come of that? Just as the Nazi government found 6 million Jews undesirable during World War II, and they exterminated all of them. Now, we shudder to think about something like that, but only because we know the truth, only because we know God's word. Now, with that in mind, I'm going to turn this over to Tom, and he's going to give us a little introduction as to what this radio program is all about. And Tom, if you will, take it over here.
We're airing tonight on KOME 95.3 FM out of Glen Rose. We're airing also on KATX 97.7 out of Eastland. KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, Canyon, and Amarillo. KWBY FM, KWBY 98.5 FM out of Stephenville, KDAV AM 1590 out of Lubbock, and KVOP AM 1090 out of Plainview. We're also airing on internet radio through the gospelradionetwork.org. And this program will be re-aired in the morning, 6 a.m. on Tuesday, right here on this Gospel Radio Network. Our motto is, and has always been, you have heard what men have said. Now, listen to what the Bible has to say. We want to remind you also that this is a live call-in program, and if you would like to call in with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-Q-A-Bible. That's 1-855-Q-A-Bible. You can also email us a question. We won't address email questions tonight, but you can email us with questions or maybe even a topic that you would like for us to discuss at questions@HarrisonMoore.org. That email will go both to David and my inbox, and we'll be happy to address any question or comment that you might have. We'd also like to remind you that there is a chat room available for those who are interested. If you go to the gospelradionetwork.org, you'll see a place there where you can get involved in a chat room, and you can also ask questions and make comments there as well. We also want to remind you that we're on Twitter. If you have a question, just go hashtag Ask Harrison Moore. We'll address it that way. We're also airing on Periscope. If you will search Harrison Moore, you can follow us, and then you will also get a notification anytime that we go on with any kind of radio programming or some kind of information that you might be interested in. Again, this is a live call-in program, and the number to call if you would like to get involved in a discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, David, you talked about how that really the moral issues, where what a person thinks as being wrong or right, is a indicator as to whether or not there is a God or not. If a person does not believe in God and the morality that the Bible sets forth, what then becomes their moral standard?
Well, only what man says or the government under which he lives. Either man or the government, the laws of the government are going to dictate what is moral, what is right, what is wrong, the standards that are given. But it has nothing to do when you compare it with the truth of God's word. And many times it is contradictory to the word of God because it has man's feelings involved in it instead of God's truth that will take us from right to wrong, light to dark, or dark to light.
So can there really be any kind of morality outside of God or without his written word? Morality, well, let's just ask this way. How can we decide what is right or wrong? We either do it by God and the Bible, or we do what the government dictates, or what we feel in our heart is right. If we think of it in those terms, David, how can anybody say what the Nazis did in Germany to the extermination of the Jews, how can anybody say that that is wrong or right if there is not a moral standard that is equal to everyone?
Well, no one can. Because the government there, the Nazi government, dictated that that was right because those people were considered to be a burden to society. So,
and if you don't believe in God, who are you to be appalled at such a thing?
None whatsoever. And this gets us back to the evolutionary question. You see, a lot of people don't believe and don't understand that if you actually put your faith and your trust in this evolutionary theory, what you are saying is there is no God.
Mm-hmm.
There is no God. And so when we look at this, we see that the taking of human life is cheap in godless countries because it cannot be logically condemned. And if it can't be logically condemned, and we talked about this last week, then what about lesser crimes like fraud and embezzlement and rape? What about adultery and sexual perversion and abortion? Without God, it doesn't make any difference how terrible an act is. It cannot be condemned unless a majority decide the law, and not God deciding the law here.
You know, we think about that issue, David. You know, without God, how can a parent even teach their children what is right and what is wrong? You know, if a parent tell their children that life has no meaning, how can they tell them that suicide is wrong? How can they tell them that premarital sex is wrong? How can they tell them that homosexuality is wrong, or that the taking of drugs is wrong? If man's existence has no real meaning, how can they teach their children anything, and why would their children listen to that kind of thing?
Well, they can't, because they have no basis, no standard on which to fall. When you look at God's standard, it is the God standard of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And as we mentioned at the beginning of this program, truth is going to set you free. It is truth that is causing all of the happiness in our life, not the lies, not the deceit, not the chaos that is called by sinful, wrong, false indications of a person's life.
You know, David, here's the catch in all this as I see it for tonight. There is a God, a designer, a creator of all. You know, we've proven that. We could do a lot more in proving that, but we've done enough to prove that. The evidence is overwhelming and evidently very convincing, because 94% of all the people in this nation believe in God. However, many do not have a real belief in the Bible as the full, complete, and exact revelation of God, and that's very apparent, David, by our poor morals in our society.
No doubt about it. And so when we look at the Bible and we look at the teachings of Jesus, they are thought of as the highest moral standards that the world has ever known. But Tom, the question is this: is the Bible really God speaking to man? That's what we're going to address tonight. That's the answer that we're going to give you tonight. What does the Bible have to say? You've heard what men have had to say. Now let's listen to what the Bible has to say. If you want to get in on this conversation with a question or a comment, pick up the phone and call us. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We will pick up the tab. We'd love to hear from you. And by the way, I called the other day and talked to a young lady by the name of Brenda up there in the Hereford, Tulia area. And I promised her that I would give her a shout out tonight because she's always listening every Monday night on KNNK out of Hereford, Texas there. And we're glad to have you with us again tonight, Brenda.
And in connection with that, David, we have a fella down in New Zealand who listens to us every year through internet radio.
Yes.
So we're happy to have them with us as well. You know, Dave, when we think about this idea of the Bible and the teachings of Jesus, it's interesting that the Bible nowhere seeks to prove it is from God. It is simply stated as a matter of fact. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 says, it is the word of truth.
Yes.
2 Timothy 3, verse 16 says, it is from God. Now, as we're going to look at the Bible tonight, we're going to see many evidences from the Bible that prove that the Bible indeed is the word of truth and that it is indeed from God. Now, the correctness of the Bible, however, demands that it is from God. Now, David, there are lots of examples, but one of the examples to me that's so astounding and so powerful is the unity and the harmony of the Bible.
No doubt. No doubt about that. And for those of you that are listening, please consider this. The Bible contains 66 books. They're all put together, written by 40 men, scattered out over a period of 1,500 years, but it makes a perfect unit with no discoveries of man that contradict historically, geographically, or scientifically. And Tom, to give you an idea of how miraculous that is, just consider our American history textbooks. There's not one of these writers that can even keep from contradicting over the Civil War, with these writers living all at the same time and only 100 years removed from the actual event itself. And it is just full of contradictions. And now consider, think about the Bible. 40 men scattered over 15 centuries of different countries, different languages, different backgrounds, and different training.
You know, David, we had men of university status like Moses and Paul, who were writers of the Bible, fishermen like Peter, diplomats and kings, shepherds and priests, tax collectors, physicians. As different as these men were, David, and though they lived in different periods of time in history, it's amazing that there is perfect harmony in their writings, with one central theme interwoven in all of them, and that theme is God's purpose and plan for man. David, even today when people look at an incident that happens on the street, the passerby is looking at it who saw it firsthand, even they cannot agree on what they saw, and yet the Bible writers over that 1,500 period time that you mentioned a moment ago, there is perfect agreement, no contradiction. You know, people have years tried to find contradictions, no contradictions, perfect harmony. Truly, David, that in and of itself proves that this is a God-inspired book.
Absolutely. And one thing, like you mentioned there just a moment ago, the central theme is God's purpose and plan for man. And this throws us right back to this entire series of lessons that we have here with man's connection with God, and we see this very, very apparent here, that we have God's relationship to man and we have man's relationship to God, and all of it is given to us here in God's purpose and the plan for mankind. And so when we look at God's purpose for us, we've got to know that our relationship to God has got to be in a greater sense than something called evolution, because evolution doesn't believe a word of the Bible.
Exactly. You know, David, here on the chat room, we have one of our chatters says, we need to realize that the Bible is completely accurate. In fact, much of the scientific information within it predates human discoveries by thousands of years. God's word revealed the facts that the world is round, that the sun is the center of the universe, that light travels along a pathway, that we can never count the stars, that the waters move through a cycle, to name a few. And we're going to be looking at a couple of those tonight, David.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It also contains medical instructions for how to avoid diseases and fight off illnesses. All of these things, David, in the Bible shows the magnificent nature of the word of God. And when I look at, think about the proof of inspiration and of the Bible, one of my favorite ways of doing this is by looking at the scientific evidences of the Bible, of which we're going to be looking at some tonight.
Right, absolutely. And so we want to get right on into this and see if we can complete this thought about God's purpose and plan for man.
Now, you know, one of the things, David, about inspiration, people mm-hmm. have a misunderstanding about inspiration. They'll say something, you know, well, William Shakespeare was a very inspirational writer.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about inspirational writer like Shakespeare and Bible inspiration, we're talking about something totally different, aren't we?
Absolutely. Two different things. You know, we have hijacked the word inspirational. The original inspirational word has to do with something that is God-breathed.
And literally, David, that's what inspiration means. It comes from the Greek word theopneustos, which is God-breathed. So what we have here in the Bible is the very breath, the very word of God. And we're going to be looking for a moment here on how God has given us the words that he wanted to us in the Bible. He did it by the Holy Spirit, did he not?
Absolutely. The Holy Spirit inspired, gave the words to the penman. When we look at who wrote the Bible, you know, we're quick to say, you know, Paul wrote this book and John wrote that book and Mark wrote this book. Actually, the Holy Spirit wrote the book and used the pen of these men.
Exactly.
And so what we have here, while men penned the scriptures, they were acting as in a sense as secretaries for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit guided them as they wrote these things down, and they were actually being authored. All of these words were being authored by the Holy Spirit. That would be the third person of the Godhead, mm-hmm. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And there you have your author. Now, we are told about these things in the book of John. And you might want to remind our readers, if they have a Bible, to turn over there to the book of John chapter 14 as you read these things to us, Tom.
John chapter 14, verse 26, to begin, it says, "But the Comforter," now he's talking about the Holy Spirit there, "but the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said unto you." And so here Jesus is promising his disciples that all the things that he had taught them was going to be brought to their remembrance by the Holy Spirit. You know, when we talk to one another or when we taught various things, we forget a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
We may not get them down right. But the Holy Spirit is going to teach, going to bring to their remembrance these things so that they might speak and write them down accurately. You know, there's one thing, David, that people try to put off on us in our world today, and they say that the disciples wrote by what was called thought inspiration. They think, they say, well, the Holy Spirit gave them the idea and they wrote them down in their own words.
That's not true.
That is not Bible inspiration. It's known as verbal plenary inspiration. Verbal, in words, plenary, accurate in all respects. It is God-breathed in every respect. It is accurate, word for word, accurate as given to the apostles and Bible writers by the Holy Spirit.
Well, right. And then again in John chapter 15 and verse 26, Jesus reminds them again. He says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, speaking to his apostles, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. And again in chapter 16 and verse 13, he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So then when we look at this, these apostles and the writers are the penmen of the Bible. They were not just given the thoughts, as you mentioned just a moment ago, but they were given the very words to write. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 16, God told Isaiah, I have put my words in your mouth.
Not my thoughts, but my words. Verbal, plenary inspiration.
Amen.
So, David, when we think about the idea of inspiration of the Bible tells us in no uncertain terms that it is inspired of God. One of the interesting things is we can know the Bible is from God, for there are things that are contained in the Bible that men by themselves could not have known when the Bible was written. You know, and these are some of the scientific evidences that the Bible contains that the Bible knew thousands of years before man even had any idea that these were true. One of those, David, is that the earth is round. It is called, talk about the circle of the earth in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 27. And I was looking up that Hebrew word earlier today, David, and it is translated in some Hebrew lexicons as a sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is it interesting, David, that the Bible talks about the earth being a sphere? Why would that be of significance in showing the inspiration of the Bible?
Well, you know, even in the days of Christopher Columbus, they thought the world was flat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be several thousand years later from what God had put down in writing for us.
I just wonder how Solomon knew that the earth was a sphere. Did he get in his spaceship and go out into space and look back? Hey, look at there. The earth is a sphere. How did Solomon know?
Inspiration.
There's only one way he could have known. God told him.
God breathed. I think this is a very, very significant piece of scientific evidence that the Bible has. All the way back in the book of Leviticus, in chapter 17 and verse 11, it tells us there that the life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. You know, Tom, today we know this to be true, but as late as the 19th century, bloodletting was a common practice, and yet the Bible taught all along the life is in the blood. Did you know, and I don't know whether a lot of people know this or not, but George Washington was killed while trying to be cured of pneumonia by bloodletting. And so we see the scientific evidence of the Bible has been in existence for years and years and years. And Moses wrote about it in the book of Leviticus. And here, thousands of years later, we're still killing people by letting out blood, thinking that we're letting the impurities out.
I wonder, David, how do you think Moses knew this? Did he go to the University of Texas Medical School and gain this information about life being in the blood?
Well, I don't think he would have picked the University of Texas. But, But
there's only one way he could have known, right?
Right. Exactly.
And that's if God told him.
Exactly.
Again, another proof of inspiration. And you know, David, in the 1930s, science taught that all flesh is the same, and they believe that the Bible was wrong. You know, in First Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 39, we have a very interesting text there that mentions how that flesh is not all the same. You'll notice there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 39, it says, all flesh is not the same, but there is one flesh of man, another flesh of beast, another flesh of birds, and another flesh of fishes. Up into the 1930s, they taught things that contradicted the Bible, but guess what? The Bible was right all along.
And it comes back to what we were mentioning just a moment ago. You want to live successfully. You want to be successful in life. Just get to the truth. That's all. Just to the truth.
And so science has corrected itself, and now as is in harmony with the Bible. The Bible is always right. You know, David, one of the interesting things to me is that the earth is suspended upon nothing. There is no suspending wires. As a matter of fact, back in ancient days, people thought that the earth was being held up by, some thought, two elephants standing on the back of a turtle, or even a man like Hercules holding up. You've seen pictures of Hercules holding up the earth. They thought things like that. But what we find out is the earth is literally suspended upon nothing, Job chapter 26 and verse 7. And again, I ask the question, how in the world could Job have known something like that? Again, did he fly out on his spaceship and look back and say, hey, look at there, there are no elephants. There are no Hercules holding up the earth. How did he know?
Bible inspiration. Bible inspiration. Now, folks, if you want to get in on this conversation, we would love to have your comments or your questions at 1-855-QA-BIBLE, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. There's another piece of scientific evidence that was not known, and this was mentioned just a moment ago by one of our chat box writers, the water vapor cycle. People didn't understand this water vapor cycle until about the 1800s, and yet Job talked about it in Job 36:27, and it was just an absolute impossibility to prove this at that particular time by any other method other than God telling Job what it was.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. I want to add one more thing to this, David, while I'm thinking about it. You know, as our chat room fella here mentioned a moment ago about the stars being innumerable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were scholars like Ptolemy who tried to count the stars, and he counted like 1,005 stars. Others counted in the thousands, you know. But there was a man that came on later on by the name of Carl Sagan. He's dead now, of course, an atheist. And he tried to count the stars. He counted them. And you know how many he counted?
No.
21 sextillion stars. That's 21 with 21 zeros behind it. 21 with 21 zeros behind it. And he said, we're nowhere near through counting. How did the Bible writers like Moses and David know that the stars of the heavens are literally innumerable?
Inspiration. Inspiration.
You know, God breathed information given in words to these Bible writers. David, that's why the Bible is so important. That's why the Bible is so powerful, because it is from the God of heaven, the omniscient, the omnipotent, the all-knowing, the omnipresent God has given us his mind in words in the Bible by Bible writers through the Holy Spirit.
Well, and the one word that keeps cropping up here is that word truth.
Truth.
All, I mean, it's just truth, truth, and it just keeps cropping up. It's the truth in science. It's the truth in geography. It's the truth in history. It's the truth about creation versus evolution. It's the truth about the existence of God versus the non-existence mm-hmm. of God. And what we must do is focus on the truth. We look for truth in everything else. Why not look for the truth in spiritual matters as well?
But think how great that could make our life, David, and make our nation, if our nation would get back to truth. You know, after all, we've talked about this many times in the past. Our nation was found on biblical principles, mm-hmm. principles of truth. That made our nation great. Now that we're getting away from the truth, our nation is going downhill.
There's absolutely no doubt about that. I don't know that anybody out there would even argue that. If you will, please call us. We'd like to discuss that with you just a little bit. But, you know, we've been talking about science here and even medicine. It you want to cure cancer? You got to get to the truth.
Exactly.
You can't cure cancer without truth. You can't cure a disease without truth. You've got to know what the truth is before you can ever even attack it. And so then we get to geography. And geography has truth just as well as everything else does. And if it didn't, how would you know where you were on a map?
Exactly.
If you didn't have the truth, now here you have a map that is a true map, and here you have a map that is a false map. Which one are you going to take? You want to get to your destination, you take the true one. You don't take the false one. Well, so we look at geography, and this geography is also correct in the Bible. And one of the most interesting stories is that of Sir William Ramsay. He was a scientist who went to Palestine to prove the Bible wrong geographically. And the reason that he did this is because, Tom, there are statements in the Bible regarding topography. And many times the Bible speaks of things like going up to Jerusalem or going down to Jericho and so forth. Now, Tom, the Bible, and a lot of people don't realize this, the Bible does not use up and down as we do today, referring to the north and the south on a map. The Bible uses up and down as to elevation.
Exactly.
And so, because of the differences in elevation and because of the distances between the cities, and at the time that all of this was written in the Bible, there was absolutely no scientific instrument to measure the differences in elevation, this Sir William Ramsay knew that there would have to be inaccuracies in that. So he gathered up his tools and he went to prove the Bible wrong. For if it were from God, and when the Bible said that a city was up from another city, then it had to be up if it was going to be true. And if it said that it was going to be down from another city, then it had to be down if it was going to be true. And having the instruments that could measure the differences, he set off for Jerusalem to prove the Bible wrong. You know what happened? He became a believer and a writer on Christian evidences. And this is why. Because he found that wherever the Bible said up, it was the truth. The elevation was up. And when the Bible said down, it was true again, and the elevation was down. And he became convinced that the Bible had to be from God, for no one at the time that it was written could have had that information except for God.
That's astounding. Amazing. Another interesting thing about Ramsay is not only that, but in the book of Acts, there are cities that are mentioned in the book of Acts that are not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible that man had not thought much of or didn't even know they existed. But after archaeological discoveries and him digging in to these things, he found out that every single city that the Bible mentioned was correct. You know, we think about, David, the idea of the idea of inspiration and God speaking to these Bible writers correctly in every aspect with regard to science, with regard to archaeology, with regard to geography. Everything the Bible says is absolutely true. Men have always said there is no God, but the Bible is the it cannot be the product of man. It has to be the product of God. Now, the number to call tonight, if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-QA-BIBLE.
Now, you know, men can come and go, but the Bible and the faith in God, truth in God, has really never been destroyed. Now, people think that they have destroyed it through time, but the Bible comes back and proves itself to be true every single time. The Bible is truly the book of books. It was yesterday, it is today, and it will be tomorrow, it will be forever. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, he said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not ever pass away." And the Bible, the Word, is our standard. It will stand forever. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, the Word of our God shall stand forever.
You know, when we think about David, the Bible, and its verbal plenary inspiration, we think about the Bible being truly inspired Word of God, and you compare it to other so-called religious books, mm-hmm. like the Quran. Like the Book of Mormon, like the book that was written by the Christian scientist Mary Baker Eddy. I forget the name of it.
Key to the Scripture.
Key to the Scriptures. These are all claimed to be inspirational, but none of them can be proved. So, as a matter of fact, they are proved just to be the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Full of contradictions, full of absurdities, full of things that are not moral. And we see that only the Bible can stand the test of inspiration. The Bible alone. And David, that's why the Bible is the truth by which we ought to be basing our lives, the truth by which we ought to be basing our moral values. The Bible is true.
And so we must have a faith. We're talking about the truth here. We must have a faith in God. We must have a trust in God. And this trust and this faith has got to come from the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God." So when we look at this truth, this inerrant truth of God's Word, it's going to produce the faith that God wants. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now this gets us back to the very beginning of this lesson. That he is what? The creator of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Not some evolutionary theory here that says that we came from pond scum, but that God created man.
And since God created man, there must be a reason why God created man. It was not just for no reason. You know, no one builds a stairway going nowhere, do they, David?
No, sir.
And so God did not create man for no reason. He had a purpose. He had a plan in man. As a matter of fact, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, notice what Paul, again, by inspiration, says concerning this very issue. He says, "For in him," this is Colossians 1 and verse 16, "for in him were all things created, in the heaven and above the earth, things visible, things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things have been created through him," now notice, "and unto him. You know, what we see here, David, is that all things were created to honor God. Now, does man have a choice in this, David?
No. No, he does not. Man can have a lot of feelings about a lot of things, but God created us for a purpose. And the truth of the matter is, and what we have been focusing on here, is always the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth, mm-hmm. the truth. And God created us to praise, honor, and glorify him. We are his creation. That is our purpose in life. But a lot of people don't understand this because they have not been exposed to the truth and God's plan for mankind. But you just got through reading what God's truth said. We were created to honor God.
So we have a choice. We can honor God or not honor God. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30 says, "He who honors me, him will I honor."
Right.
So the truth is, David, if you want to be honored by God, if you want to have a life of happiness, we're going to have to come to the truth. The truth is, we need to honor God because we were made for his honor.
Right.
Our purpose here on this earth is to bring glory to him. But, you know, we don't live that way, do we? I say we, editorial we. People live for themselves,
mm-hmm.
and they do not live for God.
Now, Tom, there is a tremendous conflict in this world over this truth. And we just got through mentioning man has a choice. We were created to honor God, but still we have a choice. God's not going to force us. He didn't mm-hmm. make us a bunch of mindless robots that, okay, you will honor me, because he wants us to honor him because we believe him, because we trust him, and because we love him. Mm-hmm. And it is out of that love, trust, and honor that we will turn right back around and honor God. Now, if we honor him, he's going to honor us. Now, the conflict in the world is this, Tom. On one side of the conflict, you have God. On the other side of the conflict, you got Satan. On one side, you have God, truth, freedom, honor. And on the other side, you have Satan, error, ignorance, slavery, and sorrow. On God's side, you got honesty, happiness, and eternal life, all coming from truth. And on Satan's side, you've got liars, sin, ultimate failure, and destruction, and it comes from an untruth.
Now, we think about these things, David, that you just mentioned about this conflict. This conflict also produces either happiness or sadness, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The universal desire of men and women is to be happy, to have success, to love, and to be loved in return. These are the things, David, that are on God's side of the conflict. These are the things, David, that have come to pass, to come to fruition because of truth. But on the other side, David, when we think about Satan and his error and his ignorance and slavery and sorrow, there is no life fulfilling satisfaction in that area, is there?
Well, there are a lot of people that think so, because the world seeks to find all of this happiness not on God's side of the conflict, but on Satan's side of the conflict, and they're trying to find these things in material things and worldly pleasures. That's where they're trying to find their happiness, but there's no real satisfaction there, because as the thrill diminishes, the hunger for stimulation is still there. They're looking for happiness in all the wrong places. Mm-hmm. They're looking for happiness on Satan's side of the conflict.
And there is no lasting happiness. You know, sometimes people think that they're happy, that they're successful, but these things, David, are only short-lived.
They are.
Next week, we're going to be looking some at a man by the name of Solomon.
Right.
Who were looking for all of these great happinesses through the things of the world. But, David, as we draw to close here in a moment, what was Solomon's conclusion as he began to look for the true meaning to life? He began to look for happiness through all the physical things of life. There was no man that was probably wealthier than Solomon. He had wisdom. He had all the wealth he could possibly have. He had all the girls that he wanted. But he looked at all these things and said they were vanity, vexation of spirit.
Worthless. Absolutely worthless.
And as he was looking toward the end of his life, what was his final conclusion to the whole matter, David?
Well, the final conclusion is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, where he said, "Here is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." And so when we fear God, we have a reverence for God. We have a reverence for his truth. We have a system of honor that goes to God and to him alone because of that reverence that we have for him.
So, David, as we rehearse just for a couple of minutes about what we talked about tonight, our whole idea is about our relationship to God, right?
Yes.
And our relationship to truth. David, in a nutshell, where is this truth found?
The truth is found in the revelation of God's word for us.
That is going to be what makes us happy. That is what's going to make us have that proper relationship with God. Tonight we also looked at the fact that we were able to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Bible indeed is the truth of God's word. Mm-hmm. And because it is the truth of God's word, and because God is indeed God and who he says he is, it's important that we give pretty close attention to what God says, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so next week we're going to be looking at this United States of America, the greatest country in the world, the greatest time in history, yet never in history, Tom, never in the history of mankind has there ever been so much unhappiness. And we're going to ask and answer the question, why is that? And so we want you to tune in for next week. But right now, what we need to do is we need to give some credit to some folks who make this program special and it makes it possible for us to go for one full hour without a commercial break. And these congregations need to be recognized, don't they, Tom?
Exactly. We want to thank very much the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, the Windmill Church of Christ on Ten Top Road right south of Weatherford, and also the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. And David, there are always people who are individuals like the Hansons and Swigerts and Keeters who have many times have given to our program. Mm-hmm. And we are thankful for people who are concerned with getting the truth, which we've been talking about tonight, the truth out to not only into this area of central North Texas, but also to West Texas, to the United States of America. We got people all over the United States listening to us, people from around the world listening to us, and these are all made possible by these sound, faithful churches of Christ. David, there's one thing about truth that we need to realize. Truth can set us free spiritually.
Absolutely.
For us to understand how to be set free spiritually, we got to understand what the Bible says about becoming a Christian.
No doubt. And here is the truth of the matter. If you want to go to heaven, this is what God requires of us. Mm-hmm. We've got to know him. And the only way that we can know him is through the Word of God. We've got to hear the Word of God. And by that, it's going to create faith. And our faith in God is absolutely essential. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Well, we've got to please God with the faith that comes from the Word of God. And once we have that faith, then we understand what the Bible requires of us. It's going to cause us to repent, to turn away from the ways of the world that maybe it's the only way that we've ever known until we've opened the truth and found out what God's standard is here. And so we have to repent of those things which we have done, turn away from the worldly ways and turn to the righteous ways of God. It is then that we've got to make that sweet confession to Jesus, of Jesus before men. And when we make that confession that we are totally unashamed to admit that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, it is then that we must do something that is going to rid us of our sin, rid us of all of those things that will cause us to be lost. And that is what, Tom?
Baptism. You know, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." It's amazing to me, David, that so many people in our world today balk at baptism's essentiality. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who came down and shed his blood, who died upon the cross, who purchased the church with his own blood, the Son of God said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." You know, on the day of Pentecost, David, in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached that outstanding sermon and convicted them that they had crucified the Son of God, they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?"
They wanted to go to heaven, didn't
exactly.
They?
And so Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2 and verse 38, when they were baptized. Acts 2 verse 42 says they acted on these things, right, and were baptized.
It said they gladly received his word. That is the word of truth.
Exactly.
And when they heard it, they were baptized.
And then, Acts 2 verse 47, they were added to the Lord's church. They didn't join. The Lord added them to the church when they were baptized in order to obtain the remission of their sins. You know, when we think about this, David, that is not just the magical thing. We have to continue to live faithfully, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we think about believing, we have to always believe. We have to always be involved in repenting. We always have to be involved in confessing the name of Christ. But there is one act that we have to do one time. That's baptism. But then after we're baptized, we have to remain faithful, continue believing, continually repenting, continuing to be confessing the name of Christ. And when we do these things, David, we understand the truth, don't we?
And that is our relationship to God.
You got that exactly right. It's been a delight to have you in our audience tonight. We hope that you will listen in each Monday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. It's been a great time to have you with us this evening. We encourage you to be telling other people about the program. We didn't have any call-ins tonight for the first time in about 2 months, and we want to remedy that. So be sure and call in 1-855-QA-BIBLE next week. We're thankful for our people who have been involved in the chat room. We've had some good conversation there. We want you to remember that we need and must have this relationship with God, and it can only come from the truth of God's Word. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
Praise O God, my Father.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.
Morning by morning, new mercies I see.